If you've believed in Christ Jesus, you've repented of your sins, you've declared him Lord and Savior of your life, you've given your life to him, you are saved. If you've been saved, I ask you this question. Is the life that you're living right now, is it a life reflective of the transformation God's done for you? Are you walking in victory? Are you walking in strength? Are the old things, the old battles that we lost time after time in our mind and with our emotions, are you still losing those battles, or are you walking in victory of them? The sin patterns that kind of, you know, put their hooks into us, and they just fight to stay, those habits and those sins. Are we walking in victory over those things? Or are we still in bondage to them? It's like, Lord, I've given my life to you, but I'm still in bondage to this. Lord, why do I still go to that website? Lord, why do I still look at this? Lord, why do I still get so riled up when I hear this? And but why are my emotions so attached to something, Lord, of such little consequence, but yet with you, there's times I feel distant. Are we walking in transformation? Because as a child of God, we should be walking in transformation. And I'm not talking about like 24/7 mountaintop experience. I personally, I could be wrong, this is my opinion, I personally don't think it's possible to live 24/7 in that mountaintop experience. I think we live somewhere like upper middle of that mountaintop experience, right? We have the valleys, but thank God we don't live there, right? And then we have those mountaintop experiences. And I think we find life somewhere in the middle, like the upper middle, whether we're walking in faith, we're walking in freedom, and we're walking loved, and we're walking free. If we're not walking in that transformational power, I want to ask you right now, do you want to? Because that's what God wants for you. Do you want to? Because you can walk in that today. And that's not hyperbole. And that's not good pastor Christianese just to get you all worked up over something. That is the word of God. That's the result of walking our lives in faith. But we, in walking in faith, there also has to be the walking in surrender, letting go of the things of the past. You guys ever heard of Nicanor of Colophon? Anybody? Nicanor? Nicanor. He was a Greek poet, physician, and grammarian, which, God bless the grammarians, like people who speak with good grammar. It's, if you don't have Grammarly, get Grammarly. Like, it's such a wonderful thing to use good words when talking good. The works of Nicanor were praised by Cicero, imitated by Lucian, and frequently quoted by Pliny and Tertullian. So he was, you know, 200 BC up to 130 BC, you know, where we see his writings. He was very accomplished. But the work of Nicanor that we will be talking about at this moment and today is his recipe for pickles. In one of his writings, he had a recipe for pickles. He had lots of valuable writings, including this recipe. Talked about like snake bites and how, you know, to survive snake bites and all those things. But here is the recipe from Nicanor's Georgica. It says the roots of the turnip. We're familiar with cucumber, you know, in our pickles, but turnip. The roots of the turnip should be cut into fine slices after gently washing the dry outer skin, and then let them parch for a while in the sun. Dip them in boiling water, and then plunge them into the bitter brine. So dip them into boiling water, right? Dip, and then plunge them into the bitter brine. Again, pour white must and vinegar into the same vessel in equal quantities, and then immerse them in it and cover with salt. It may seem random that I'm sharing that. It's not. I will circle back on this later, but tuck this away and tuck away the dipping and the immersing. Because as a part of today's message, I'll talk about the difference between being dipped in the Holy Spirit and being fully submersed, immersed, submerged in the Holy Spirit. We pull up the graphic about if there's more. See this up here? I want you to repeat this after me. We're going to say the first line and then we'll skip down to the second. And I think this is something that we can all say and mean in sincerity. I don't want us to say something that we don't mean, that we're not sincere about. But if you look at that and you can say that with full sincerity, then say that first line. God, if there's more, I want all of it. Do you believe that? God, if there's more, I want all of it. Lord, I want to sop up every bit of you and what you have. I don't want to miss out on a thing. I have good news. There is more. There is more. Thank God that our faith is not a faith of one and done. Hey, you said the prayer. Good for you. Your name's in the book. Best of luck. That's not our faith. That's not what we see in the Word of God. Please turn in your Bibles or your Bible apps to Acts chapter 1. And as you're turning, I'll give us just a quick, I'll catch us up to where we are. Jesus had been arrested, had been falsely accused and tried, had been killed. He had died on the cross, was taken down. And on the third day of his death in the tomb, he resurrected, emerged from the dead, risen. And then he's like, I'm going to spend the next 40 days being visible. I'm going to eat with people. I'm going to walk with people. I'm going to share. I'm going to teach. I'm going to talk about the kingdom. I'm going to just walk through doors and be like, peace be with you. Greetings. 40 days. He's like, I'm going to make it unmistakable that I'm alive. And then I'm going to have some vital instructions on the day that he ascended to take his seat at the right hand of the Father. He's like, I'm going to have vital instructions for my church after talking about the kingdom and talking about what they're needed now and talking about the work they're going to do, because I want to grab a seat. When I said it is finished, I meant it is finished. But that meant my work, not their work in me. Okay, so that's where we're at. So Acts chapter 1, verse 4. Once when Jesus was eating with them, he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the, what? The gift. The gift he promised, as I told you before. Jesus tells them to wait. Said, hey, the Father has a gift for you. If you want to receive this gift, then you're going to have to wait. I'm going to leave and you're going to have to wait. And they waited 10 days. Okay? They waited 10 days in the upper room out of obedience to the Lord, because he said, the Father is sending you a gift. If you want it, then be hungry for it and be ready for it and wait for it. And you won't miss it. You won't miss it. It'll be indistinguishable. There's no way you can go, did the gift come? Did you get what? No. And then on the day of Pentecost, the 50th day, that's when the day of Pentecost came. So he tells them to wait for the sole purpose of waiting on the goodness of God revealed in the Holy Spirit. We got time to wait on the goodness of God? Oh, yeah, you bet. Yeah. I got a good preacher. I got 12, 13 minutes. I got 15. I got 15 minutes I can wait upon the Lord for sure. Ish. Guys, for us to receive the goodness of God, there has to be a hunger for God. There has to be a hunger for the things of the Lord. You want more of God? Hunger for Him. And empty ourselves of the garbage that fills us up. How do we empty ourselves of those things? Sometimes it's repentance. Lord, I have filled myself up with such nonsense. Lord, political talk on, you know, on this podcast or on this YouTube channel or on this TikTok. Lord, hours upon hours of gaming, when I hear your Holy Spirit say, go talk to my neighbor. Doing things that are pursuing only my ambitions and not making time for kingdom work. I mean, like, I could go on and on. I could give an example that fits to every one of us. But will we make room for the King? Jesus tells them to wait for a gift. Verse 5. Jesus says this, John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom and restore our kingdom? I don't care who the R is. If it's not inclusive of his kingdom, we shouldn't be talking to God about our kingdom. Sounds like a dang pirate. R. He replied, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. Jesus just shut it down. He very easily could have said, this is bigger than you. This is bigger than Israel. This is bigger than your small thinking. This is bigger than your small kingdom. This is bigger. But instead he goes, that's not for you to know. I think I would have gone the second route. Verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to all the ends of the earth. Think about it like this. You will be my witnesses everywhere in Erie and then the North Metro area and then Colorado and then, you know, this part of our nation and then America and then the nations. It's this ripple effect, which our logo is based on, that splash of blood that's a ripple effect. That's what the Impact Rock Church logo is. It's showing that there's a ripple effect, that we're to reach broader than just where that impact takes place. Jesus is looking at his followers with a bigger picture in mind. Probably a pretty good time for some more call and response. If you're a Christian, say this. Say, I'm a follower of Jesus. So Jesus is talking to me too. Sometimes when we read Scripture, we think, oh yeah, he's just talking to Peter and Andrew and John. He's talking to us too. We're followers of Christ. And when we read this, he's talking to us too. Jesus is telling them, you know me. You've been with me. You've walked with me. You've heard my messages. You've seen me do mighty works. You've been with me on the mountaintops. He says this, but there's more for you to receive, and my Father has that gift for you. But you're going to have to receive it. For you to fulfill my great commission, you're going to need power. He's saying they don't currently have power. You don't have power. For you to fulfill my commission, you're going to have power. And you're going to need it. Guys, you've studied Jesus. You've studied his words. You've heard sermons. You come to church. We worship together. We do the outreaches. You know all about Jesus. You've been saved. You've been baptized in water. You've been in church. But there's more, and Jesus wants you to receive all that he has for you. You guys, we can't just move along. Man, that's just not us. I'm just letting you know right now, that's not us. That is not who we are as a church. Just doing some token form of worship or response to God and then moving on. That is not us. And you know why? Because that is not fulfilling. That kind of Christian life is not fulfilling. We all have been at that place where we're like, man, why isn't my faith fulfilling my soul? Like, it's just not fulfilling. It's because God has more, and he wants us to be walking with him constantly, receiving from him, growing in him. It's not a one and done. Now, don't get me wrong. When we placed our trust in Christ and Christ alone, we were justified by the blood of the Lamb. We were saved, and sin was defeated, and death was defeated, and curse was defeated, and we were free, and we were saved. That word justification, think about it like that. Just if I'd never sinned. Just if I'd never sinned. That's how we're seen by our Father. Through the completed work of Jesus Christ, you're saved. But here's the thing, it's not one and done. Then we're supposed to walk out our salvation, growing, looking more like him, sounding more like him, acting more like him, responding more like him, seeking him more. And that word we see in Scripture is the word sanctification. That I'm daily being sanctified, walking with the Lord. And it's an utter dependence on God. Completely dependent. Think about what we just read in Acts chapter 1. This is what Jesus says and what the Father has promised. So why would we have any resistance to what Jesus says and what the Father promises? Salvation. So we're going to talk about three experiences in God. Salvation. I just talked about salvation. And by far, just hear me as clear as can be. By far of the three experiences that we have with God, number one is number one. Salvation is number one. It is, man, when you trust yourself in Jesus, honestly, if the other two things didn't happen, you would find yourself in glory with the Lord. You know how we know that? Because there was a criminal on a cross. I don't know what he'd done, but it was bad enough to be crucified. He was on a cross and temporarily mocking Jesus because the other guy was mocking Jesus. He just followed along. And then something changed. He didn't learn anything new. He didn't have time to learn anything new. He didn't have a great class. He didn't take a great course. There was no catechism. But something happened. And he acknowledged the lordship of Jesus Christ and said, remember me. Will you remember me in heaven when you're gone from this cross? Will you remember me? He didn't even have the right words. Well, Pastor, he's not saved because he didn't repeat the sinner's prayer. His heart cried out, remember me. Jesus said, this day you'll be with me in paradise. He wasn't baptized. He wasn't baptized in the Holy Spirit. You know where he is right now? In heaven. And they're like, hey, what did you do to get here? He's like, nothing. What, did you say a prayer? No. What did you do? I acknowledged that this wasn't the man, that this was God. And it's something in me new and I believed in that moment. That said, we also don't see anywhere in Scripture where a Christian turns away water baptism. If they have the opportunity to be baptized in water, they get baptized in water. So I want to say, if you've never been baptized in water, we're doing it next week. I think it'll either be here or here. I don't know. We might try putting the hot tub here. It's a hot tub. It's like toasty. It's nice. We used to do it in a horse trough. It was cold and miserable. But we got the hot tub, baby. So if you want to get baptized next week. But since you've placed your trust in Jesus, have you been baptized? If not, then be baptized. Don't turn down water baptism, because water baptism is your public declaration that I am a follower of Christ now. Amen. I'm a follower of Christ. That's what it is. And it's an act of faith that when I go under the waters of baptism, I'm leaving sin on the bottom. I'm leaving shame on the bottom. I'm leaving the accusations of the enemy on the bottom. I'm leaving the curses that were spoken over me on the bottom. I am not coming up with them. They're dead. But I am alive. It's awesome. I will say this. If you were baptized as an infant, somebody had faith for you that one day you would make a decision as an adult. That person who had you baptized as an infant, they had faith for you. But that moment didn't save you because you were a baby. You couldn't make that decision. They did it as an act of faith so that one day you could stand of your own free will and say, I give my life to Christ and I want the world to know it. So if you were baptized as a baby and now you're walking as a follower of Christ, but you haven't been baptized, get baptized. It's wonderful. It's that coming out party. It's awesome. I will always think of Carrie's baptism like just it's about the thrill of coming out of the water, the exuberance. So the three experiences, salvation, water baptism, and baptism in the Holy Spirit. Now that you've gone public with your faith and your belief in Jesus Christ, you now need to represent the life-changing power of God. You now need to represent the life-changing power of God to other people. Because other people are going to come to you because you are the light. It's one of the most radical things Jesus says. I feel so unworthy of his declaration that I am the light, that you are the light. I feel so unworthy of it, but yet I feel like my king told me I'm the light because he's in me. He says, you are the light of the world. Not just the light of Erie. You're the light of the world. A city set on a hill, on a high place, cannot be hidden. So people are going to come to you. When they come to you, do you have power to bring about life in them? Because that's the next step that God has for us. That's what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is all about. To walk in power, you must be filled with the one who Jesus raves about. It's remarkable. Jesus raved about the Holy Spirit. He told his disciples, because they're sad, like, you're going to go away? What do you mean you're going to go away? Don't go away, Jesus, don't go away. He's like, no, you don't understand. It's better that I go away. Because if I don't go away, then the Father won't send the Holy Spirit. And he's going to guide you into all truth. He's going to remind you of everything I've done. He's going to empower you. He's going to comfort you. He's going to teach you. He's going to be another comforter. He's going to be another teacher. I was your teacher. And you're going to get another teacher. Because my work's done. His work's done. Your work is not. His work is done. My work is not. When people are drawn to the light in you and they say, my marriage has fallen apart, what should I do? Do you feel empowered to point them to Jesus? To be a witness of what God's done in your life? To be a witness of what you've seen God do in your parents' marriage? So that you can speak to that. Are you empowered to now that the Lord has drawn them to you, to affect hope and life and changing their lives by pointing them to Jesus? That's what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is all about. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is a phenomenal and vital thing that every Christian needs. And unfortunately, it's been placed in a small kingdom denominational box. So let's crush. All right, you guys with me? Hold on. Okay, this is our denominational box. Okay, we're just going to drop it. And we're just going to crush it. I got boots. So these boots are made for crushing small denominational boxes. There's traditions that say, hey, I'm going to talk about the Father and I'm going to talk about the Son. But it's okay if we sing about the Holy Spirit, but we're just not going to talk about the Holy Spirit. Like, that's such garbage. I might have, like, almost cussed. Like, that's such garbage. That's such garbage. We're going to sing about the Holy Spirit. We just can't talk about him. Crazy. Let's read the words of Jesus again. So it's Acts 1. I'm going to read 3 to 9. So I'm just going to expand my parameter there. During the 40 days after Jesus suffered and died, he appeared to the apostles from time to time, and he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. And he talked to them about the kingdom of God. He talked to them about the kingdom of God. Once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? He replied, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they're not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people everywhere about me. Telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. After saying this, he was taken up in a cloud, and while they were watching, they could no longer see him. After this, Jesus ascended. Those were his last instructions. Wait for the gift. Wait for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will empower you to be witnesses, because there's many, 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 many people. There's centuries of people that will need to know about me, and so there will need to be witnesses. And those witnesses will have to be bold. They'll have to have a strength beyond their own strength. They'll have to have a spiritual boldness that goes beyond their comfort level. Tell me one thing about that that sounds bad. Tell me one thing about what I just read that sounds bad. Why wouldn't this be something that we declare again and again and again? Tell me something about that that's weird. Tell me one thing about what Jesus just said that doesn't stir hunger within you. You're like, I want more. I want more. More of God. All right, question. Actually, don't answer, because I don't want anyone to feel bad. Don't answer. According to the scripture, what's the one sign of the proof of being baptized in the Holy Spirit according to this scripture? What's the one sign, the one proof? And I'll let you know, it's not any of the gifts of the Spirit. It's not any of the fruits of the Spirit. The one proof that Jesus gives that you've been baptized with the Holy Spirit is what? It sounds like dower. Sounds like mower. Power. Again, false teaching. People have been like, oh, the proof of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is tongues. No, that's not true. That's not true. Because we see people in Scripture that were baptized in the Holy Spirit and didn't speak in tongues. It's just not true. Quit putting tradition in place of Scripture. The proof is power. Power to do what? Power to be a defense attorney, right? To make an ironclad, airtight case for Jesus Christ. No. No, he didn't say you'll be my defense attorneys. He said you'll be my witness. See, the pressure is on the defense attorney to make that ironclad, airtight case. Jesus said, no, you're a witness. The role of the witness is to say, I don't know about all that. I just got to tell you, I was blind. And now I see. So I don't know about anything else you're saying, but I know that I couldn't hear and now I can hear. I know I was lost and now I'm found. So I don't know about all that. I'm just telling you what I've experienced. That's my testimony. That's what you and I are called to. Not to make ironclad cases for Christ. Man, that would keep all of us from talking about God, right? Out of fear. Oh man, what if I bring shame to the Lord because I don't have enough scripture memorized? Being a witness, giving testimony is not about memorizing scripture. Although memorizing scripture is wonderful. We should. It's great. I love it. Brings so much strength to me and so much strength to others. We should do it. But it's about just saying, I don't know about those things. Let me tell you what I do know about. Heavy. And I believed the lies of the enemy about me. And I believed I was a bum. And that my life would amount to nothing. I believed the lies that were told about me. And the minute I said, come into my life, he did, and I was changed. And I don't believe those lies anymore. And daily I'm finding out who I am in him. I don't even know yet. It's so exciting. I don't even know yet. But I know today I'm different than I was yesterday, and so I can't wait for tomorrow. Do you have any friends that need to hear that message? Yeah. Hey, I don't even know what tomorrow holds. I know that my God is good today, and he's going to be good tomorrow. And isn't it exciting? I have friends that need that message. You have friends that need that message. That is what it is to be a witness. That is why we need boldness. That is why we need the Holy Spirit. So I talked about justification and sanctification, right? We were saved. Boom. One time, we're saved, justified, we're saved. And then we walk out our salvation in sanctification, just dependent upon the Lord, right? It's the same way in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It happens once. You're baptized in the Holy Spirit, and then we are constantly getting refillings. Do a search on the phrase, be filled with the Spirit. Just do a search for it. It's meant to be a constant thing. It's not just one and done. It's utter dependence on the Holy Spirit for a fresh dose of power to be a witness for him. It's spending time with God and walking out and just asking God for fresh infillings so that I go, oh, I've never been a kind person. I would never consider myself kind. And oh my gosh, the Lord's done this work in my heart. Like, I'm kind now. People keep telling me I'm kind, and I had a hard time hearing that because I'm like, I'm not kind. I'm mean and I'm harsh. But I'm like, you know what? They're right. They're bearing witness about who I am in Christ. I'm spending time with the Holy Spirit, and now these fruits of the Spirit that I read about in Galatians, they're showing up in my life. So I preached a few weeks ago, on being filled, right? I had the water glass out here, and I squeezed it, and right? We're going to be filled with something. We're going to be filled. We're not infinite in our ability to receive. We're going to be filled up with something to the brim, and it's going to be overflowing. So when we get squeezed, it's going to splash out on the people we love. It's going to splash out on our wives, on our husbands, on our kids, on our friends, our brothers. It's going to splash around those people we do life with. So either we're going to be filled with the Spirit. And so when we're squeezed, they're going, oh my gosh, I am so proud to have him as a friend. Did you see the way he responded in faith? Man, Lord, if I'm ever walking through that difficult thing, help me to respond. Lord, that was so cool to see him just trusting you. My friend Dave, when his dad died recently, and I'm like, oh my gosh. And he and his dad were close, 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 best friends. And it wrecked him. But what you saw was his faith and dependence and trust in God, his affection, that the Father was loving on him in the coolest ways. And so even though he was getting squeezed by the hard things of life, what came out was just, I need Jesus. I trust Jesus. I need Jesus. I trust Jesus. I need Jesus. I need you. I trust you. It was beautiful. If we're filling ourselves up with all the other crap that's, when we're squeezed, it's garbage that's going to come out in the form of anger and fear and outrage. You still with me? You want to see signs of proof of power. And look at Peter. I love Peter. I relate to Peter. I relate to the sometimes impetuous decisions that dude made. I relate. Peter's my homeboy. One moment after the arrest of Jesus, we see Peter running from a teenage girl. I told you I don't know him. Leave me alone. I'm embellishing a bit. Just a bit. He ran from a teenage girl saying, I told you, I don't know him. He denied Jesus 3 times. He was afraid of the words, the accusation of a girl. Let's flash to Acts chapter 2, after the day of Pentecost. And Peter basically preaches this message. You killed Jesus, and you're going to go to hell if you don't repent. You're going to go to hell if you don't believe in Jesus, and if you're not saved. And you know who he told that to? The most powerful people in the world. Rome was the most powerful place in the world. The religious leaders that were responsible for the false arrest and accusation and crucifixion of Jesus, they were present. Roman soldiers, he's like, yeah, you know, a bunch of misguided Gentiles killed him. You know, he was used by the enemy too. How do you go from running from the words of a teenager to standing boldly going, you killed him? But there's hope in that one you killed. I just want to read it. Acts chapter 2, verse 21. Peter says this, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. People of Israel, listen. God publicly endorsed Jesus the Nazarene by doing powerful miracles, wonders, and signs through him, as you well know. But God knew what would happen, and his prearranged plan was carried out when Jesus was betrayed. With the help of lawless Gentiles, I'm talking to you, Roman soldier, put your sword away or take it out, I don't care. You nailed him to a cross and you killed him. But God released him from the horrors of death and raised him back to life, for death could not keep him in its grip. What's the difference in this man? The baptism of the Holy Spirit. He was there on the day of Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit descended and filled them and empowered them. And Peter, who wasn't even a preacher to this point, preaches his first message and steps out in boldness with no fear whatsoever and proclaims the gospel news of Jesus Christ, and thousands were saved. Maybe you're not that ambitious. Maybe you have no ambition of saving thousands, but do you have the ambition of seeing your best friend saved? Just one. Who did Jesus die for? All of us. Everyone out there. Sometimes we live our lives as if there is no hell and people aren't going to it. Sometimes we live our lives as if there's not hurting and lost people out there who don't need to know that Jesus loves them and can heal them. That word for power is the word dunamis. And it means the supernatural work of God to bring healing. So I want us to set something aside just for a moment, okay? I want us to set aside the healing. I want us to set aside physical healing. Let's just set it aside. Someone's sick and, you know, praying over the cold. Someone has cancer and praying over cancer. Someone, you know, fell and wrecked their leg and praying over that leg. I just want to set the physical healing aside, because sometimes that's beyond our faith. If it's not, then go ahead and include it in the mix here, but I'm okay with just setting it aside for a second. God also wants to do a work of healing for those who have been betrayed and abandoned and crushed and abused. Do you have faith for that? I do, every day of the week, 7 or 8 times on Sunday. I got faith for that all the time. Someone says, I'm just so hurting. I'm like, let me pray for you, because my God is the healer and he loves you so much and he can heal you. He wants to heal you. You guys, this is who we're supposed to be as the church. And if I'm being honest, and I'm going to say, I'm not going to say we as a pastoral team. I'm going to say me as the lead guy. Man, I think I've done you a disservice by not talking about this more. This is vital. This is huge. This is how we walk empowered. If you've been dissatisfied with your Christian life, maybe it's because you don't have any power. Maybe because you don't have any power and you're not being used in these ways where where Jesus said, I just need you to be my witness because my work is done, but yours is not. And so you feel like, is there more to this? I mean, I work, you know, 8, 10, 12 hours a day, and then I come home and I eat my meal and watch a sitcom and I go to bed. Lord, is there more? He's like, yes, there's more. Yes, there's more. That sucks. What you just described sucks. Yeah, there's more. Put your pants back on. Put your jacket on. Let's go for a walk. Okay, Lord, what are we doing now? Let's go for a walk. Because it's in the walk that the Lord grows us. It's in the walking out our lives. It's in that place of getting up and putting my pants on and putting my jacket on and saying, Lord, I don't know where you're leading, but I'm going to be ready when you lead me to that person who needs to hear from you. I'm going to be ready. Worship team. Golly gee, you guys, I promise you, I'm only halfway on my notes. Can I just show you the pattern of salvation, water baptism, and baptism of the Holy Spirit? Let me just fly through this. Matthew 3:11. John the Baptist says this, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So we don't baptize anyone with the Holy Spirit. Jesus baptizes you with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because it's his work that he wants you to do. So he baptizes you with the Holy Spirit. It's not a church thing. It's not a denominational thing. It's a Jesus thing. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. But I will say this right now. If there's anything that you have to have other than salvation, like a qualification for baptism of the Holy Spirit, and you got to have room. You got to have room. Make room. Make room for the King. You can't be so full. There's got to be some level of hunger and thirst. And if you've got no hunger and thirst for the Lord, pour something out. Get rid of something. Repent of something. Go on a fast. Like, say, Lord, what am I doing? What's filling me up? Whether I have no hunger for you, because you got to have hunger. You got to want more of him. I want to make this clear. The minute you were saved, the minute you trusted in Jesus, you got the Father. You got full access to the Father. The veil was torn in the temple, which means you don't have to have a mediator to come into the presence of the Father. You get to go straight into the presence. So the minute you were saved, you got full access to the Father. You got the Father, you got the Son, you got Jesus, and you got the Holy Spirit. Okay? So Romans 8:9 says this, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. So if you're saved, you got all three, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So I'm not talking about that, oh, you've got Father and Son, and baptism of the Holy Spirit brings you the Holy Spirit. No. You've already got all three. This is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's an empowerment for the hungry. And if I'm being totally honest, it's saying, it's an invitation going, Lord, you can use me. Lord, you can use me. I'm not going to make my life about me anymore. I love that. Ephesians 5:18 says, do not get drunk with wine, for that's debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. I got to read this. Gosh, there's so many verses. John 20, verse 19. On the evening of the day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. So this is after the crucifixion of Jesus, okay? And they're terrified. And they heard Jesus was risen, but they're not quite believing it yet. He's risen, but they're kind of taking a, I've got to see it to believe it type of thing. And it says, and Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. And they screamed a lot. Doesn't say it here, but they probably did. They probably screamed a lot. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. And as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. commission. There's a mission. There's a mission we're on together. As the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you. And when he said this, he breathed on them. Seems a little weird, but it's also incredible. He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. This is the moment they were saved. This is the moment they were saved. That word for spirit and breath is the same. The Hebrew word is pneuma. And it means breath. And it means spirit. The Holy Spirit is the breath of the living God. That's the minute they were saved. Okay, he breathed on them. They received the Spirit of God. They were saved. Okay, so they're saved. But what have we been reading in Acts chapter 1? I'm leaving. Wait upon the gift the Father's going to give. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. You're going to need it for power. I'm out. He said that to his disciples, a bunch of people that were saved. You guys, there's the pattern. Saved, water baptized, baptized in the Holy Spirit. I got to bring it full circle. The recipe of the pickle and the dipping, that's the word bapto. It's just a dipping. But that word, and that's the word that this Greek poet used. He used bapto, and then he used the word baptizo, which is a full immersion and saturation. And then it goes so far as to say this: you're so immersed that your very state and nature is changed. You're no longer a cucumber. You're not a cucumber anymore. You're a what? You're a pickle. You're changed. You're so immersed. Baptizo. That's what we are in the Holy Spirit. It's that constant, patient immersion in the Holy Spirit that it changes our very nature. You guys, that's what God wants for us. You guys, I'll do it next week. Lord, just let me know when I can do it. There's all these scriptures, and I'm aware of the time, and I want us to have time to respond. There's all these scriptures that show the pattern of the New Testament church. You know, were they saved? Yes. Were they baptized? Yes. What kind of baptism were you baptized in? The baptism of John. Well, the baptism of John was for the repentance of sins, and Jesus did that work. So now let's baptize you in Jesus. Baptize you in Jesus. Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay. Now let us pray for you so you can receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We see that pattern again and again and again. So why does the church think we don't need the power to do the work that God has called us to do? All right. Can you stand with me? I asked you at the very onset of this message, you know, are you willing to step beyond your pride to receive breakthrough? The breakthrough is on the other side of your pride, but you got to step over it. There's no shame in admitting, hey, my Christian life, it doesn't feel like what you talk about, Mark. It's not satisfying like I think it is for you. It's not satisfying like you're talking about. I want it to be satisfying. I hunger for that. Then you need to call out to Jesus and say, Jesus, baptize me with your Holy Spirit. There's plenty of instances where, you know, it says they laid their hands on them and they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. But I'm telling you, it's not man who's the baptizer and the Holy Spirit is Jesus. You just got to call out to your Lord and Savior and say, I want more of you and I want power because you've surrounded me with people who need a touch and I am so inadequate to the task. But I want to be. I want to be empowered. So here's what I'm asking, and we're going to go back into worship, and this is what I want our response to be. If you want what I've been talking about, just come to this we don't use phrases very often like the altar. But come to the altar. We sing about it. Come to the altar and just be real with the Lord and say, Lord, I want more of you. Baptize me with your Spirit. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Empower me to do this work. If you want more of Him, don't let your pride keep you in that seat. I mean it. Because God's got so much more. Let's respond in worship. And again, don't be afraid to come up and cry out.
I just shared with Mark just a second ago, as soon as he started talking about the Holy Spirit, the room did a little uncomfortable shift. Like, we know how to come to salvation. We know how to be baptized in the water. But when it comes to the intimacy that the Holy Spirit brings to us, there's a check in our spirit, because that intimacy creates closeness. There's less of the room between us and Jesus. James 4:8 says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. And if you draw closer to Him in that Spirit, that Holy Spirit, there's such a sweetness and a closeness that God wants for you. He wants that intimacy with you. But for us as humans in our flesh, we're like, oh, that's close enough. I got this right here. That Holy Spirit, that's a little too close. And that's all He wants, is to be as close, dare I say it like this, as close as humanly possible. So read that verse again, James 4:8. Draw near to God. Take a minute and draw near to Him. Let His Holy Spirit invade every part of you. Let Him draw close to you.
Meets the road. If in hearing this message today, that hunger was stirred and you're like, I want more. Whether it's a fresh outpouring, maybe you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you're like, I want a fresh dose. I want a fresh inpouring. I filled myself up with things, but right now in this moment, there's room. Lord, I've made room for you. I want a fresh dose of your Holy Spirit. Or maybe you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you're like, quit talking. Give me the opportunity. I'm in. I want more. I want to be filled. He's called me to a work that I felt ill-equipped for. I want to be empowered for that work. If that's you, open your eyes and just raise your hands, because I'm going to pray. Amen. Yeah, this isn't one of those moments to close our eyes. This is one of those moments to go, yeah. Yeah, Lord, I want your power, and I want to be about this work. Let me pray right now. Lord, I thank you. That, Lord Jesus, you are the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. And you raved about this gift that the Father would give. So, Lord Jesus, we ask right now, Lord, that you would just deliver that gift. You would just open that up in freedom and in power. And, Lord Jesus, just baptize these hungry people responding to you. Lord, baptize them in your Holy Spirit, Lord. Empower them. Empower us, Lord. I pray for a fresh dose, Lord, a fresh outpouring, an infilling of your Holy Spirit. Lord, where we've been dry, Lord, we need the oil of your Spirit. Lord, where we've been thirsty, we need the water of your Spirit. Where there is old and dry, we just need the fire of your Spirit to burn up the old and bring newness and life. We receive your power in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, next call. Again, we can keep our eyes open. There's no need to close them. If you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus, but you're like, I believe. I believe. I'm going to give my life to Him. Nothing could stop me from giving my life to Him. If that's you, raise your hand big. Raise it tall. There's no need to be coy about this. Is there anybody? Come on. That's what I'm talking about. Come on. Absolutely. All right. We're having a baptism, water baptism next week. Amen. Here, I want you guys just pray this prayer after me. Actually, we could all pray it after me. Dear Jesus, I believe in You. You are the only means of salvation. I repent of my sin. I don't know why You want my sin. Come on, church, pray it after me. But I give it to You. And I turn from it. And I turn to You. Jesus, You're my Savior. And You're also my Lord. So I give You control. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen. All right. I think I've done too much talking. I'm going to sit down now. John, would you come up and close us out? Anybody that wants to be water baptized next week? Man, it's going to be an awesome service. And I've got more to share. I'm going to continue on this next week just a little bit more. And then we'll baptize folks and it's going to be a party. Okay? Love you guys.
Yes. This is hot. Be able to continue the victory of the message with our tithes and offerings. There should be a QR code behind me. There is. There's a box outside if that works for you. Just pray to God and ask Him what He would have you give. Father, we come before You. We thank You for the blessing and anointing, the victory and the passion You put into the message today, but that You do every day. We thank You for loving on us, and we ask for an explosion into our finances and into the church's finances, that You would just be blessed abundantly beyond belief and understanding of our understanding, and the growth would be abundant for You. In Jesus' name, amen. So, Pastor Mark was talking about the message. He was talking about dipping it in, and it reminded me of a song that we used to have in another church, and there's no rhythm in me, so you're not going to get the song, but basically, we're talking about touching your toe in to the river, or jump into the river and fully immerse yourself and just completely jump in. And I want to give you some armament real quick that God gave me for you. Is that we're in football season right now. And on Mondays or Tuesdays, you meet with somebody and they say, "Hey, how was your weekend? Did you see that game? Did you see what I... It was amazing." And then what happens after football season? People are just searching. What am I going to have for a victory now? Is it going to be basketball? Is it going to be baseball? No, it won't be baseball here. They're searching and they're looking. What's my victory for? On Monday, Tuesday, you get to say, "I was at church and there was a message that was unbelievable. My pastor shared with me that I didn't have to exist. I could live and I could enjoy living and just let it rest." Because it was so easy to say, "Did you see that pass? Did you see that touchdown? Did you see the sack? This weekend, did you see the victory in you? And are you willing to just share it? You don't have to preach at them. Just be honest and genuine with what you heard and just say, 'Goodness, I don't have to exist. He showed me that I can live.'" And just be blessed in that. Continue to see that victory. Closing this prayer. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord shine His face upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face towards you and give you peace. Let's jump in this week. Just jump in. We love you. Have a blessed week.